Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
The social media post, the Instagram Live or TikTok or whatever it was, the unfollowing, the refollowing, everything with Brandon Ayuk, whether or not he will still be a San Francisco 49er when the season starts. The fake reports, people coming down our guys' roads, guys that we've had on the show, for just reacting to fake reports. Don't even react to it. Niner fans, they don't want to hear it. You're not moving off of Brandon Ayuk. Well, the man who is in charge of it all, John Lynch, has some things to say yesterday, and this was pretty much it.
A couple years ago, there was a lot of talk about another receiver, Debo, and I said the same thing, but with B.A., you know, B.A., I've communicated on a couple occasions, on many occasions, our wish, and our wish is that he's here and a part of the Niners for the rest of his career. You know, we're working through that, and, you know, as such, you know, I was a player once, and I never liked my business being out in the public, and so I'm going to respect that. I'm not going to speak for their side. I can say we're having good talks, and I'm just going to leave it at that, and we'll focus on the draft here today. But that's just want to understand you guys have a job to do and respect that, but that's kind of the tone I'm going to take there. So with that, I'll open up for questions.
When you guys communicated, did you use emojis or – words?
There you go. The first question. We communicate well, and we love the guy. So thank you.
Has he been here for?
He's not. Yeah, he's not here right now. No.
But has he been here previously at all?
No. Yeah. Sure. We receive calls about a lot of players. Yeah.
Given permission to his side to go.
I'm not going to get in all those details. We're really focused on BA being part of us. He's under contract, and we're looking forward to that.
Debo and Nick both said the years where their contract things went into the summer or even later that impacted the way they played that season. Yeah. It negatively impacted the way they played that season.
Right.
Knowing that, does that, you may just in terms of the timeline of trying to get something done with BA, does that?
Yeah, I think that's important. I think there is, you know, human nature is that deadlines force these things. But, you know, I think you can always learn from situations, and you'd be a fool not to. I'd like to have our business tidied up at a little, you know, those things, they ran the course they needed to. And I'm proud of our record of getting the guys we want to get done. But I'm right there with everyone else. I'd sure like it to happen sooner.
So. Those guys said that, you know, it kind of affected them going into the season, you know, not having a normal routine and, you know, that stuff lingering. Is that a concern for you guys if it does linger?
Well, both those guys had fantastic seasons, and they're fantastic players. But, of course, you know, I just you know, alluded to it. You always want to learn. And you know, if we can get it done sooner, I'm always for that.
So he starts it off by saying, I'm not going to answer any question on Brandon Ayuk. And then
five questions later. Yeah.
Niners media is like relentless. Like,
you
well, I've
have
talked
to
about
be.
It on this show before.
You have to be.
Dude, Mayoko just goes right in, and John Lynch just knows with him. Like, first of all, Mayoko is amazing. He's like the top Niners reporter. Like, I think everyone, that's kind of the consensus, right?
Yeah.
He just immediately knows where he's going, and he's like, can't let you. You're going to get something out of me. I know it.
Well, I think that was probably the most important piece of this, because he did answer everything else besides when he was asked if they've allowed Brandon Ayuk, because they did that with, if I'm not mistaken, was it DeForest Buckner?
Yes, I think so.
They said, if you can find somebody,
yeah.
When asked if they've allowed Brandon Ayuk to find a trade partner, he said, I'm not going to get into all of that.
Yeah. Sounds like a yes to me.
Chris, Nate, dude. Hey, I'm looking.
I mean, can you not let it? Like, I don't know. What really bothered me at the end of that, I think John Lynch did a great job in that. Obviously, I'm a homer, so I'm going to think that. Mm-hmm. But at the end, when he said, me and you just both looked at each other, when he said that both those players had great seasons coming back from their contract disputes, which he meant Debo Samuel and Nick Bosa, Debo undoubtedly didn't. No. We played promos on this station
right.
all year long that yep. literally had Debo saying, yep. "Nah, it was terrible. I'm not going to put anything like that on tape again."
Yep. Right.
That was a pretty quote. Iconic quote from Debo.
Yes.
I mean, he was right, but that season where they had it was the 22 season because 21 was that Debo year. It was bad. It was bad the whole time. He yeah. was injured too, and it was the contract. It was the contract dispute. It was getting to camp late. And then look at Bosa last year. Yep. Another slow start from him. He had a slow start his rookie year, too. He obviously had the ACL year where he missed. He was looking okay that year. But it undoubtedly is a major issue in the NFL when they're yep. not at camp, when they're not training with their players. It is not the same thing. It is not the same. It's so important for these guys to have those camps. And they did not have good season. Last year was okay for Bosa because of what he did in the back half. But that first half, just the first 8 weeks were just rough for him.
Yeah.
He had an okay season. I definitely wouldn't say fantastic. Okay by Bosa's standard. And then Debo's was bad for his standard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think all that's definitely true. And it's you know... Can you afford to have Brandon Ayuk have that kind of season? You know, especially after we talk a lot about the windows and what the 49ers window is. Trent Williams, I don't know how many more years he's got after this one. I'd be shocked if there is any more after this one. Like,
I think you're counting snaps with Trent at this point. I don't think it's years. I think it's like literally snaps.
Absolutely, yeah. And all of that plays into there's not a lot of time. There is not a lot of time to waste with this current crop of guys. And, you know, it's... You know, I don't think you can afford to have this lingering into the season for those reasons. Like, you have to be all in on this season. We know Brock's contract situation is what it is for only a couple more years. I'm not saying they've got to trade Debo on Thursday or trade Ayuk on Thursday, but it feels like they need to figure this out before the regular season starts because I just don't think they can afford to play with time like that anymore.
All I'm seeing, too, is articles about great draft day trade ideas, and it's just Brandon Ayuk's picture over and over. Like I've seen in the past couple months, those are all the articles I'm seeing. So I think the consensus is a deal gets done, but the Niners are notoriously sneaky about their front office. And I mean, you look at the Mac Jones year, the Trey Lance year, where everyone thought Mac Jones was going to the Niners. Consistent lies. Debo never. You know what? You never know what's true with these guys. So. It's a really just wait and see. I don't know how much you can go by the writing on the walls.
I would think if you're a Niner fan too, you would be rooting on Thursday for the draft as many quarterbacks up top as possible. I would guess you'd want as many of those receivers, the top three receivers, to fall as far as possible so nobody feels like they're left at the table without a guy, right? Like, 'cause that's the fear is that, you know, Neighbors and, you know, Dunze and of course Marvin Harrison are going to go. If they go before 12, 15, a team who might have been planning to take one of those receivers or take a fourth receiver even might look around and say, you know, maybe we do look to ship off this first-round pick for Ayuk. Like, what would it, depending on the team, depending on the situation, I would think that if you're a Niner fan, yeah, you would want as many of those quarterbacks to go early as possible and try and shove down those receivers. Because if, you know, if the Cardinals end up sticking and picking Harrison at four, and then, you know, if all of those three top receivers go in the top 10, I think that that's a really clear path for a team that has a need at receiver to go and make that Ayuk deal happen.
How much is put on the proven product? And I know we talked to a lot of receivers while we were in Vegas. Yeah. The proven product of a receiver versus, I guess, the projection of a receiver. I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you are one of these teams looking for a wide receiver, is Ayuk valued higher than Marvin Harrison Jr.? Is he valued higher than Rome Odunze? Is he valued higher than Malik Neighbors? Because he's been in the league and produced or
contract the money.
Yeah. And people are so excited about the unknown. Yeah. I remember, it's funny you brought up Vegas. I just remember Torrey Smith specifically talking about the money and how important that was, obviously, as a player, but and how he wishes he played now instead. It's crazy, the inflation with receivers, not just receivers, but it's getting close to, maybe not getting close, but trending towards running back territory in the way that they're valued. They can just move. Like, look at your guy, Stephon Diggs, Chris. It's like, yeah, we'll just the first time Buffalo was like, yeah, we'll take him. We'll take this proven guy. I don't know. And it came back to kind of bite him in the butt. Like, they could have taken Justin Jefferson,
yes,
right? They could have made that move. But they wanted to go with the proven guy, and that didn't work. And that might be the kind of framework of how the NFL is going to operate, the trend of how they're going to operate going forward.
But I don't know if getting Stephon Diggs is where they went wrong. I think paying Stephon Diggs is where they went wrong.
Yeah, exactly. But those go hand in hand, right? Like you said, the contract,
yeah,
is what people are worried about, and the,
yes,
money.
Yeah.
So, and then especially with the Niners,
yeah,
where they're paying so many guys in so many, right, spots, and there's just more to come. There's more guys, yeah, they're going to have to pay. And the biggest one hasn't even been paid yet. They can't, right, even talk, sure, to him about it.
Yeah.
Mr. Jacked himself, Mr. Toyota.
He does look shredded.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the pictures of Brock Purdy
throwing,
you see his scar.
The amount of glazing,
like a bad mother, shut your mouth.
Dude, that never matters, man. Every offseason, every player has those posts. Am I right? Like,
not like that.
Not like that. You're right.
Not like that.
The amount of Niner accounts that I saw repost that picture and say some version of league's in trouble, or, oh, don't let Brock get some arm strike, whatever. Like, it was insane the amount of grown adults I saw drooling over Brock Purdy having a good-looking forearm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Insane.
His forearms.
I like that Allen's pro-Brock now. He's flip-flopped on him. Coming off of surgery, he's jacked.
He's not a super tall guy.
You know, he's Allen's guy.
He's a chip on his shoulder type of guy.
You know? If he gets, like, 10% better, Brock Purdy, I think the league is in trouble.
On notice.
I'm serious.
I mean, we're talking. What are we talking here?
We're talking Juwan Jennings, 15 touchdowns. Yeah.
Juwan Jennings, you were able to hold on to him,
man.
Now you got the jacked Brock Purdy throwing him the football.
I'm even if Ayuk goes, I don't know if the Niners will take a receiver in the draft.
Okay.
That's where did you think I was going?
I thought you were going to say I don't know how much they'd miss him.
Oh, no. I don't know if they'll take a receiver just because of where they're at and where they've drafted in the past few years. They took Ronnie Bell last year, who was okay, more of a special teams guy.
Yeah, that one big game.
Mm-hmm. Two touchdowns. Yeah,
yeah, against the Giants.
Yeah.
Right?
He had a fumble.
That was when Ayuk didn't play.
Ayuk didn't play that game. Yeah,
week five. I can't remember back that far. And then Danny Gray, who injured last year. But he, I don't care what anyone says, he was in the doghouse last year.
He's not good. If
5 years down the line, Shanahan does what he did with Ayuk and was like, he was never in the doghouse. It didn't matter. That's just a lie. It's another misconception.
But is he in the doghouse because he's not good?
I don't think he's blocking. I think that's the problem.
No rock. Everybody knows that.
That's how... You know, we've had this conversation several times too. Ayuk's value for the Niners is arguably higher than it would be with any other team because of his blocking.
I think you can find guys to block, personally. I think his value is as a receiver.
Yes, but I'm saying his receiving skills, mm-hmm, that go with his blocking skills. It's almost like tight end-esque.
But here's my problem with the Niners. And we got a text here. I hope the Niners keep BA, but if a trade makes more sense, I would like to see some type of deal revolved around Patrick Surtain. Bolster up that defense and let Kyle do what he does with whatever roster he has on offense. That's from the 831. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with that, but here's my problem with the Niners. They continue to draft these guys that are, we can't lose him. He's so good to this scheme. How many scheme guys do the Niners need? Oh, you can't lose Ayuk because of the blocking. You can't lose Kittle because of the blocking. You can't lose Juszczyk because of the blocking. Yeah. It's just enough.
Well, and then you see injuries happen and the team falls apart. So maybe
there's a problem with the system.
I feel like it validates the, okay, all right. But those guys are important to the system. And that, I feel like that kind of invalidates the whole argument, right?
Work on the system. All right.
Okay.
When we return, someone who is burned, the Kings, could be wearing the purple next season? We'll discuss who it is. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
As we proceed to talk off-season targets, there is a target that may be available. And it's not the target that you'd expect when talking about the New Orleans Pelicans. Zach Lowe, Chris, and I'll throw to you, Zach Lowe has some things to say about a certain Pelican that may be available. And we've talked about this Pelicans team and how they're a little bit confusing. They play tonight, I believe. Pelicans trying to split yes. out in OKC.
No, they don't play.
Okay, they don't play. Yeah. So they don't play again until tomorrow. They have to play tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So they play tomorrow, and there is a name that has come out. And Chris, I will throw to you.
Yeah, and I will throw to Zach Lowe, who will tell us exactly why we think that there is a Pelican available. Here's Zach Lowe on his most recent podcast talking about how good the Pelicans looked on Sunday and why that might be an interesting note for teams like the Kings.
Trey Murphy III, like, I don't know what the solution is next season as you project ahead, but like he just has to be in the starting lineup.
I've been saying this since he came back from injury, and even before that, he's going to have to start. You're going to have to figure it out. Like, I don't know who gets traded, who comes off the bench, whatever happens. Like, there's just no world in which Trey Murphy and Herb Jones are not starting on the wing next year. Zero, they both have to start.
If we're ranking their players, Trey Murphy III is no lower than third, and he's in the top three, and he might not be third. I guess let's put it that way.
Ooh, KP bringing a little anti-Brandon Ingram spice right now.
That was quietly a little spicy. But he made so many winning plays in this game, and unfortunately wasn't rewarded with the win ultimately.
Also made baskets, which are winning plays.
Those are winning plays. Those are a little more obvious.
I found
some Tylenol, Zach Lowe.
This is just how he sounds.
Get some emergency.
So, I mean, in that, you essentially hear him and Kevin Pelton talking about the prospect of next season. And we talked about it, too. It'd be really hard to keep Trey Murphy on that bench. He's a 16-point-per-game scorer when he starts, and I think that's in just under 30 starts this season, so it's not a small sample size. And we saw it. I mean, we've seen him be able to pull. He's a dude who can shoot from the parking lot. He's also got a crazy vertical as well, so he's very multifaceted. And, you know, if you're out there doing the math, you're saying, hold on, wait. He said Herb Jones has to start. He said Trey Murphy absolutely has to start. Okay, they need a center out there, Valanciunas. They have C.J. McCollum. That leaves one starting spot for one of Brandon Ingram or Zion Williamson. And when you think about that Pelicans team, like they did kind of, I don't want to say luck into Brandon Ingram, but Brandon Ingram was not drafted by the Pelicans. There is no attachment really to Brandon Ingram and his progression. Right. He's been great there for New Orleans, but it's been in a lot of up and down years where Zion's been out and B.I. had to step up and be the number one guy. What I'm essentially pointing at here is one of those two more than likely has to go, and I don't think it's going to be Zion Williamson. I think Brandon Ingram might be a sneaky available guy here, and if we're talking about guys who have length, who have shot-creating ability, who have a potential another level to go to, and might not ask or demand the price of those Paul George, even like Lauri Markkanen, Brandon Ingram, I don't know what his value is across the league. I know he's well-regarded, but I don't know in terms of trade value that he would cost you the king's ransom, no pun intended. Like, I don't know if you would have to throw the kitchen sink to go get a guy like Brandon Ingram. And to me, offensively, he makes a ton of sense for Sacramento, who's just looking for another guy.
But what is that going to cost you, and what would the Pelicans want?
Well, that's what my question was. I don't know what his value is. I don't know if – I mean, obviously, they'd want picks. That 13th pick would probably go a decent way. Maybe they want some more veterans. You know, we can give them old reliable Harrison Barnes. And you know, if they want a guy like Kevin Huerter, or if they want – you know, Keon Ellis is somebody who's on an incredible contract right now and probably is going to outvalue that contract. You could probably do yourselves a lot of favor by throwing Keon in there as a trade sweetener. You know, there's the Keegan Murray conversation. I don't think that would make sense if you're looking to ship off for BI, but there's options for sure.
I don't think they would need Keegan. The issue would probably be wings. You don't want another wing.
No, they probably want a guard. We can throw Davion Mitchell even. Davion's a guy who hasn't really 100% found
his
footing.
What about
Huerter? Yeah, Huerter.
Davion, Huerter.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know that they would want HB, but if they did, here you go.
Yeah.
Davion, Huerter, HB for Brandon Ingram.
Sure. I mean, it gets a conversation started.
I would like to keep Keon.
Sure, I mean, that's, you know, but you can't play that game. You can't play the game where
I can play the game. Don't make me bust out the trade generator. I haven't done that in months.
Please don't. I think it's a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to be the easiest thing. I'm not saying you're not going to have other suitors out there. But if we're talking about guys that could potentially come in and change things here, I think Brandon Ingram's somebody whose name hasn't really been thrown out there. And if you look at that New Orleans situation, they do have a lot of cooks in the kitchen. It's a nice thing to have now, but it does become a problem in the offseason when you've got guys who look around and say, like Trey Murphy, I feel like I want a bigger role. I was drafted here. You guys have built me up to do this, and now I feel like I'm ready. Where's my opportunity? Like, you can't have – it's part of the bad of having a ton of talent is – you've got to give that talent opportunity.
De'Aaron Fox, in a perfect world, right? And we're going to do this without 8,000 players over the summer. But you bringing up Brandon Ingram,
who makes $33 million this year, $36 next year, and then is out of his contract. So the Kings would – it's essentially a one-year expiring contract that they're trading for.
De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Keegan Murray, Brandon Ingram, and Sabonis. That's your starting five.
Yep. It's a pretty good starting five.
You're cooking.
It's a pretty good starting
You're five. Cooking.
It, then, you know, the bench.
The bench.
As we just talked
about
the bench.
We're not
going to
talk about the bench right now.
Yeah, you know.
But that starting five is cooking.
It's a start. It's definitely a really, really good start. And then you still have Trey Lyles. You still have
Keon.
Keon. You still have, you know, Chris Duarte still under contract. You still have Sasha.
In his second year.
You still, you know, depending on what picks you have to give up. That
you got
that
Alex
could
Len, hopefully.
Things.
Can
yeah.
Sasha go back home? Like, if he chooses,
I'm sorry?
Why would you ask that?
No, like, is he if he wants to go back and play in the EuroLeague?
I did see an article
said
on
yesterday,
that. But
he said yesterday in the exit interviews he's not going anywhere.
Dang, yeah, I would love to get paid to sit on the bench too.
Nate, you just got
Nate.
You've got
what is your deal
to
today?
Throw at Kings bench.
Yeah,
players.
What is your deal today?
Who else did I get? Oh,
Mason.
And yeah, Mason,
yeah.
Mason.
Not today. Though.
Hey, second team All G League.
That's right,
Mason Jones.
Put some
Mace.
Respect on his name.
Okay.
But Chris, that is good stuff right there. You heard it here first from the 831. I would take Ingram any day on the Kings. He doesn't shy away from the big moments. That's what we need. He is a dog. When we return, NBA player survey, some interesting notes here that we will break down. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
All right. You heard about it. If you were listening to the morning show, Carmichael Dave with Jason Ross, The Athletic put out their yearly NBA player survey. 142 players participated. They talked about most overrated player, most underrated player, favorite arena, coach you like to play for. And... yeah, who they think is going to win a title this season. So, Chris, how we want to do this is some of the stuff we'll just read off, but Nate is going to read off some of the questions and we will answer them ourselves.
Yes, and or I thought it might be fun if we try and guess what the players yes. answered themselves. Because, it is a poll, so there is first, second, and third place finishers in most of these things. And I thought it might be fun if we can try and guess how the players see things.
Okay.
So, I sent Nate over the link, and Nate, go ahead. Give us some of these questions that were asked of NBA players.
Well, the first one that popped up that I'm curious.
Sure. Anything that catches your eye, Nate.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Who's the best defender? This is just to be clear, 132 votes cast, so it's not a giant
right.
pool, mm-hmm. but it's obviously
it's enough
guys you would consider to be the smartest of the smartest when it comes to ball, right? Like the athletics, pretty. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
some stuff with like Malik was getting silly, you know, with the voting. But that I just want to throw that out there.
Sure.
Yeah, but no, I mean, there's 130. I think they polled 142. Not all 142 mm-hmm. answered on every question. But what? There's 13 players on every team, so there's it's a lot of the league.
It's well represented. Yeah. Yeah.
So best defender stuck out to me.
Yeah. First off, my guess would. I mean, I would say Rudy Gobert, but I do think this is where the player as aspect comes into play. I don't think players like Rudy Gobert, and so I don't think they're going to vote Rudy Gobert. The question is, do they say Wemby? Or do they go with like a guy like Marcus Smart or Kawhi or something? I'll say they picked Wemby.
Okay.
I'll say they picked Wemby. Okay.
I don't think they picked Draymond.
Oh, I didn't even think about Draymond.
I don't think they picked Draymond.
I'll say Draymond's anymore. On here, but it's looking like top 10 Draymond's there, but definitely not one.
I'm going to go outside the box here.
Okay.
I'm going to go Herb Jones.
That's not a bad guess.
That's a good
but
one.
But Chris is right, which
really?
Shocked me
Wait,
a little bit.
What?
15% wow. of the votes.
They so, picked Wemby?
Yes, Wemby.
Wow.
Drew Holiday.
Oh,
Lou Dort.
Okay.
Then Herb Jones.
Wait, where is Gobert?
Gobert is two more away. Jaden McDaniels, Rudy Gobert. So pretty far down. And then Draymond's three later. No Kawhi. And who else did you mention? Not John.
No, I can't remember.
Not Jonathan Isaac, but he's on here. He's gotcha. He's deep down there. So Jaylen Brown makes an appearance.
Hmm.
OG makes an appearance, but something.
No Kings. Keon Ellis will be on there next year.
He'll be on it next year.
Who's the league's most overrated player?
Oh, my God. Who?
Now, this correlates with the last one in a way.
Huh. Then Gobert.
Oh, yeah, right.
Then it's Gobert.
You are right. I shouldn't have given you that hint, but I just thought it was really funny.
Wow. So they cannot
crazy.
Stand
Is Draymond on there?
I don't see him, but you know who
Draymond.
Is on there.
Steph?
Nope. Take a real guess. Take a real guess. Think about a guy who gets a lot of hate who maybe doesn't deserve it.
LeBron.
Nope.
No, I guess this is players. A lot of hate, but doesn't.
He's sitting right behind Allen.
Oh, Domantas Sabonis
oh, that's
is on
right.
that list.
It looks like he's. I don't know if this is. Looks like he's like 11th.
Uh-huh.
There's
what
no
percent?
Like actual.
What percent?
2.5%. So tied with okay. Pat Bev, AD, and Jason Tatum. I'm going to say JT.
Wow. Overrated.
Yeah, but the number two most overrated player also sticks out. I thought it might have died down a little bit, but Jordan Poole.
Oh, leave Jordan Poole alone, man.
And then Trae Young, which I think Trae Young gets too much hate. I think he gets too much hate,
wow,
in my opinion.
The players say that. That's kind of crazy.
And
there's real proof that they hate Rudy Gobert. I don't know what it is, but they hate Rudy Gobert. Yeah. I can think of a couple things.
Wow.
Next one, underrated player. If you go overrated, you got to go underrated. Any guess here? It's
underrated.
A tie for one, but I don't know if you guys.
Who would be so underrated? Broad. Is this a star?
No.
Okay.
Neither.
Okay.
No.
Alex Caruso?
No.
Yeah,
it's not a star. I mean, this could be anybody.
Is it your Jamal Murray?
Caruso's not on here. Jamal Murray, no, but he is on here. He's tied. I'll say he's tied with Kyrie and Naz Reid.
Interesting. Underrated. Who is the most underrated player in the NBA according to players? I don't know. Who's like?
No.
Who's your
Alan,
favorite?
You want
De'Aaron should be on
De'Aaron
there somewhere.
Could be on there.
De'Aaron's on there.
Is he really?
Yeah,
good for
he's
him.
Fifth. Sorry, there's no numbers next to the name, so I'm trying to do quick math.
Just give
here.
Us Western or Eastern.
Whew. Well, I'll let me just tell you.
Yeah, just go.
Because it's a tie. You got Derek White and Jalen Williams, both at 10%, hair over 10%.
Huh. Then how you go to Jalen Williams. Started this year.
Yeah. That's so weird.
Number that's four is point. What gets me. You got Drew Holiday at 3.
Okay.
Number four is Shea. SGA.
What is
and
this?
And that's crazy because. God.
And this was taken at the end of the year.
Yes. Right.
Sam said that, yeah, they had to get the. They got some of the votes late, and that's crazy.
Yeah,
to have Shea and Jalen, they're the one seed. What?
I don't know.
He's
Fox was there. That's nice.
Yeah,
good to see Fox represented at least.
Sabonis nowhere to be seen.
Yeah,
this one's funny, and we had this conversation, I believe, last week. Who in the league would you least like to fight?
Oh man!
Besides, I mean, Jokic's brother doesn't count. Right.
Yeah,
is would like Boban or something, Jokic be on that
Boban's
list?
On there.
Okay.
Jokic is not on there. Giannis is tied with Boban.
I wouldn't mess with JaVale.
Not on the list. This is a shorter list. I mean, we said the guy last week.
Is it James
Zion?
Johnson?
Yeah, James Johnson. Yeah, number overwhelmingly 53%.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Steven Adams.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah,
I'm
Beef
not
Stew.
Adams.
Beef Stew.
Oh,
yes,
yeah, right. You don't want
Joel,
that
but he takes a wrong step,
Joel,
and you got the win,
yeah.
Right? You just tag him out. Draymond was tied with Joel.
Oh.
Would you guys like to do the greatest player of all time?
Well, I saw this.
There's only five. Oh my God.
Yeah. And
this is insane.
Yeah. So one went viral.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just take it.
This is ridiculous.
One went viral because there was a vote cast for one Paul Pierce.
Mm hmm. He's tied for
the greatest of all time.
All time.
Is that Paul Pierce?
And everybody was confused when that happened, including Paul Pierce.
Was it Draymond who voted that? I'm trying to think like who would have, because that's clearly a troll vote.
I don't know.
The truth.
He was popping, man.
Dude, I could. There's 10 players in the NBA
right now. If
somebody
thinks that Paul George is the best player of all time,
Brandon Miller,
someone can think that Paul Pierce is the best player of all time.
That's just Paul love. That's all that is.
I don't understand how you could say that.
That is insane. Or you're right, it's a troll job.
It's gotta be a troll. It's gotta be like a Celtic or something.
Maybe. If he's voting.
These are current players that voted this.
Wow.
No, that's insane.
All right. Do you wanna get let's knock these greatest of all time out. Would you like to guess?
I mean, it's LeBron and MJ.
But
it's,
who's won?
It's MJ.
Chris?
Yeah, I'd probably say MJ still.
MJ at 46, LeBron at 42.
Wow.
Then Kobe at 9.8, and then tied for that third or fourth is Curry, Magic Johnson, and Paul Pierce. So that
doesn't make sense. That is something for sure.
Favorite arena to play in?
Oh, we already know it's Golden 1 Center. Got to be.
Locked in.
Everybody loves arena.
Golden 1 Center is higher than I thought.
Oh, it's on the list.
It's higher than I thought.
Oh, I love that.
Favorite arena to play in?
It's seventh, and it's tied with Chicago, Miami, and Utah. Wow.
Is it Madison Square Garden?
Garden, right?
Yes, it is. And then TD Garden is too. Oh. But Madison Square doubles that. And then it's Crypto Arena. So.
Oh, get out of here.
What do we know the name of what the Clippers?
It's the Intuit Dome.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha. Least favorite arena?
Probably Boston.
Or
that'd
Utah.
Be my guess. Oh, Utah, yeah. Neither of those?
Neither, sorry.
Wow. Least favorite arena?
Denver, because of the altitude.
There you go. Now you're thinking.
Good guess, but wrong.
Really?
But, it's not even top. It's seventh.
Would it maybe
Smoothie King.
Yeah, like, are they looking for vibes?
Think of, like, rough cities.
Detroit.
Yes, Detroit. Detroit,
that's
like
sad that that's the first place all over.
And then Charlotte, Memphis. So not.
Oh,
not,
okay. So those are also bad teams.
Yeah.
So
right.
I guess makes sense. It's just a bad environment to go to.
Right.
Because I don't think anybody really. I mean, I don't know. I know that Pistons Arena is new. I can't imagine there's like rats and stuff rolling around there.
Yeah.
But
Mike Brown does make this list, but it's not, you know, not top tier. Which current coach, aside from your own, would you like to play for most?
Eric Spoelstra is number one.
Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr's third.
Okay.
Pop is second.
Oh.
Spo is one.
Ah, there you go.
And then you have Mike Brown down the line a little bit, tied with Will Hardy, Jason Kidd, Joe Mazzulla, and Tibbs.
I was told Mike Brown's not a good coach.
Ime.
That's right.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I saw it was from a Lakers person, so I don't know if it was true or not. But they said that Darvin Ham didn't get one vote.
I don't see him on here, but I don't, you know. I saw a picture today.
Is there an inverse of that question? Do they have the opposite?
I'm going right now.
Oh, okay.
So between one and two is huge, and it's very funny.
Is Darvin Ham on?
Yes, he is. But only 77 votes cast, so that's less than half of people voted for this one. I don't know why, but which current coach, aside from your own, would you least like to play for? A whopping 46%. 47.
It can't be Darvin Ham because we would have saw that.
Right. It's not Darvin Ham. It is a big, big market.
Is it Thibodeau?
Oh, yeah.
You guys think Thibodeau? You guys are right.
Nobody wants to play 48 minutes.
Well, it's funny you do that, boys, because Doc Rivers is two at 9%, which is hilarious. And then Monty Williams, don't like. Nick Nurse and Popovich are tied. Darvin Ham, Nick Nurse, and Greg Popovich are tied.
That is quite the group.
Wow.
Yes.
Something's not like the other there.
The Kings did make this list as well.
Really? Mike Brown made that?
No, this next list. Oh, excuse me. And we probably got one or two more, unless we want to do some more with the Drive guys. But which team, other than your own, will win the title this season?
That's a weird question.
It is weird. I would guess that most people would pick
Nuggets
or Celtics.
Yeah. One and two are a large
Nuggets margin. And Celtics.
Yeah, wait, said the Kings made that list?
They did, 0.8%. They're tied with the Mavs and the Lakers.
So one person outside of the Kings voted for them to win a championship.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah. Yeah.
Who's the most random team besides the Kings?
Minnesota, maybe, before the season. Huh. But it's pretty.
So the Kings is
in hindsight,
the most random team.
It's pretty accurate, I'd say, outside of the Kings. Lakers got one vote. Dallas got one vote. And it looks like Minnesota got two. Bucks got two. OKC, maybe. I guess that's.
Sure.
I don't know.
Shout out the Kings for being in that conversation for one player.
This will be our last one for this segment. What letter grade do you give the referees this season?
Oh, it's got to be a D or an F.
C.
I would say a D.
Alan's on the nose today.
Ooh,
C, 47%. A's the lowest at 3%. This got 132 votes. And then B, 27%. C, 48%. D, 13%. Huh. F, 8%. So A got the lowest. People were not happy with the refs this year.
Didn't seem like it. All right. Crosstalk. When we get back, Drive Guys, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Joined by the one, the only, Whitey Gleason. Chris, this is from the 209.
Don't bother Chris. He's busy. He's practicing.
Yeah, he's practicing putting. Sam was on the drive. Sam was on the morning show and said that they got rid of troll answers. I did hear some of the Sam interview, but I was driving in, and then obviously I pulled up. But
how does one determine if it's a troll?
Don't ask me, Chris.
I wasn't asking. I wasn't asking you. I was not. I was actually asking the texter.
But apparently that's what Sam said, so someone does believe that Paul Pierce is the greatest of all time.
Or the Kings will win a championship.
Or the Kings will win a championship.
I don't really know how you could suss that out.
Whitey, please tell Chris here, who's, you know, a little bit younger here, Paul Pierce, the truth. There's somebody that might think Paul Pierce is the greatest of all time.
No. First of all, I would never presume to tell Chris anything about basketball unless it was something like from the, you know, 50s that I read once. Chris knows plenty about basketball, but no, Alan, no, come on. That's not even
Paul Pierce.
He was my favorite player.
You seem very passionate about the case.
But the thing here's
no logical reasoning.
No. It's the same as the Paul George thing.
Yeah, which was crazy.
These guys aren't operating on best of all time. I think they're confusing, or not confusing, just stating their favorite player.
But that wasn't the question. The question was, who is the greatest basketball player of all time?
But even when Brandon Miller did it, I think what he actually meant was Paul George's favorite player. I don't think he thinks Paul George is the best player of all time. I think that's his favorite player. That's what I think. Now we're making assumptions.
Because all I can go off of is what the question was and how the question was answered. You can make your assumptions off of what was implied and what was whatever.
But if someone, hey, he's the best of all time. It just sounds like when you're in grade school a little bit. No, he's the best because he's your favorite.
Sure.
Chris's favorite player would be actually a lot better answer than Paul Pierce.
It would. It would actually make sense for a greatest player of all time. Tim Duncan.
Sure.
Tim Duncan's not the greatest player of all time, but that's a much better answer than Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all I'm saying. All right.
That's what you're saying now?
No, but I'm saying that's what they're doing. That's what I think is going on here. Or someone actually thinks Paul Pierce.
Put your name on it.
Who's your all-time favorite basketball player?
Best?
Yeah. Well, your favorite.
My all-time favorite, I don't know if I've ever been asked that. My all-time favorite basketball player.
One, Steph Curry. Two, Klay Thompson.
Ooh.
Allen Iverson.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What is that?
Two Allens. Two greats. Yeah.
I mean, he made being Allen cool. Right. I actually changed my name to Allen.
Right.
It was Bert when I was born, and we changed it to
Bert Stiles.
Bert Stiles. And then Allen Iverson came around and said,
a promising news career.
Hey, can I change my name to Bert?
And they let me change it. Mm-hmm. Spelled the same way.
We're talking about Bert. Not Allen.
We're talking about Bert. All right, Whitey, I know you saw Frankie Cardicelli's poll yesterday and what he had to say about Malik Monk. What is your percentage at for Malik Monk staying?
I don't know. I go back and forth. Right now, I'm right down the middle.
Oh, come on.
I am, because yesterday, if you'd asked me at this time yesterday, I said, he's not coming back. But then the more I think about it, the more, you read into, as we're all going to do, read into every little word, every particular word he says. Yeah. I could go somewhere else and be in a worse situation. I don't know. I think it's 50-50, and let's face it, that's not great for the Kings.
Whitey, what do you think about something we talked quite a bit about, tossing it back and forth, is
which side comes up more often, the heads or tails?
Yes, if you have any insight on that, that would be great.
I think
you
do.
It makes no sense because
I know for a fact he's
got something. You're not tossing the same coin all the time. So you said,
but
well,
it's always a quarter. No, it's always a quarter.
Oh, it is? Okay.
if you're really flipping a coin here, it's a quarter.
My question is... Whitey, do you have any problem with De'Aaron Fox not being overt about Malik needs to come back? We need Malik back. Please, Malik, come back. And instead has, he had the press conference that said, go get your money. That's absolutely what he should do. And also had in a piece that was released on NBC Sports by Tristy Rodriguez, in a conversation with Malik, she writes in there that De'Aaron walked up as they were having the interview and said, essentially the same thing. Malik, go get your money. Nah, he's going to go get his money. Don't worry about him coming back. Not necessarily don't worry about him coming back to SAC, but essentially saying he's going to go get his money.
I don't have any problem with that. Yeah. Somebody called us yesterday and they were concerned about that. To me, we know they're really friends. And if you're really a friend, I mean, you don't want to put them in a bad position where publicly, oh, please, 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 if you think they may not come back. I think he's just being a true friend, and I know some people, we like to look at the basketball business as something other than that. Your team and your city, and yeah, that matters, but I don't blame him at all, and I thought it was really interesting when De'Aaron Fox said, it's what Vince Carter told me.
Right.
And to me, if Vince Carter told you something, that is good advice that you should pass on to someone else.
Right, yeah, no, absolutely, and that's the one thing I just didn't understand is, especially after I think we landed on the post-game press conference, I think was fine. It did feel like maybe that interview that came out on NBC Sports felt like that might have been a okay, we get it. Like we get it, De'Aaron. Like he's going to take care of himself. Do you have to continue to publicly say, I don't care, but just give the front of I'm not going to force his hand here. Mm-hmm. Like you said, not put, and I understand the friendship angle of it. I'm definitely more so on the De'Aaron Fox side of things, but I definitely at the same time understand why fans would look at that and say, Can you just only say come back, please?
Maybe not. Do
yeah.
It. Was I the only one that thought there was a little bit of an edge, a little bit of a point to some of the things Harrison Barnes said?
Anything specifically? I listened back to it yesterday.
It's easy to point to the end of the season, but you know there was a lot of games we lost early, and we didn't come out with the right attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yeah, I did hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that I think. We've wondered throughout the season. I mean, if you're going to show up inconsistently every single game and not know which team you're going to get on a given night, I think it points to that. But yeah, to your point, to be able to directly hear it from somebody who's involved and saying, yeah, you know, we really didn't approach every single night the same way. I don't know who that's necessarily pointing the fingers at. Is it a group thing or is that, you know, players mm-hmm. need mm-hmm. to make sure it's your job to show up ready on that day?
Mm-hmm. I think the problem is, and you know where I'm going to go with this, it's who's saying it, right? So I don't and Harrison isn't saying he was immune to it. He's part of it. But, I mean, Sabonis showed up every single night.
Right.
De'Aaron Fox showed up on most nights. So I don't really know what to do with that because – Harrison Barnes, you weren't there. Is that why you didn't show up? I don't know. I have no clue. I have no clue.
That's a fair point.
You know, so it's not to say that it's not true. Obviously, he was in the locker room, but when Harrison himself has kind of gone missing at times, I do think it's tough to figure out what I want to take from that.
Are you going big swing off-season trade? Or are you kind of staying the course here? Obviously, you're not going to tear down, right?
Chris, Brandon Ingram.
It really depends what's available, I think, as maybe as sitting on the fence as that is.
Would do that if there's a guy out there that you could get even – because, you know, going price for those guys is like multiple first-rounders.
It's a lot. It's all in or nothing. But, yeah.
We will wait for the prices to drop a little bit.
Good luck.
The big short, and then you will get someone in Sacramento to bring it on home. All right, Drive Guys up next. Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper, Jay Johnson. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. Nate did a great job with all that audio. Thanks to all the calls. Outstanding show with all the fun calls. Keep them coming tomorrow. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.